Good evening and welcome to Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour with me, John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. The Mental Health Hour, for anyone who is new to this, is a safe space for us to discuss different topics around the subject of mental health, but also as the true Arthur Ellis style, we will provide practical things that you can go away and do rather than just providing the information. So we're going to tackle a couple of really poignant subjects this evening, and to help us out with that we have the wonderful Rita Mystery, who's our own chief mentor, Swiss Army knife of psychology, who helps a huge amount of people in the community. And we're going to be talking to her about a variety of things that we might all be experiencing at the minute. But first, a bit of an update from Arthur Ellis and what we've been up to this week. We've been doing an awful lot to adjust to the crisis that we kind of find ourselves in at the moment. For people who don't know an awful lot about us, we do work with organisations. So we train organisations in different techniques and different support structures that they can get in place through our training for their employees internally. As a result of that, we fund and we are able to fund a one-to-one service which provides subsidised sessions because of the work that we do with these businesses to children in our community, to adults in our community. We've adjusted all of the work that we provide to corporate clients and businesses onto online webinars, online training, and we're now doing webinars around a variety of different subjects so that the employees can be helped out during this time. And then we've had a huge increase in our one-to-one service as well, which has been great, but we've to combat the spike in support that our community needs at the minute, we have tripled the size of our team. So we are here to help. So if anyone's affected by anything that they hear in the show today, then they can please feel free to reach out to us on our website, which is www.arthurellismhs.com. And tonight we are speaking to Rita, and we're going to be covering a variety of things which we'll tell you about very shortly. But hello, Rita, good evening. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. It's nice to be here again.
We did a show, it was back in September, wasn't it, on children's anxiety and the anxiety of going back to school into a new year. So I think in the future that's going to be really prevalent to do again. So I'm looking forward to welcoming you back on the show in the future, which I know that you're going to be incredibly excited about. For today, so what's your background? Because you work here with us in Arthur Ellis, but for the people who don't know you or might not have worked with you directly in the past, what's your background?
So my background's predominantly in psychology. For about over 30 years, I've been a psychology practitioner in various shapes and forms. I've got experience in forensics. I've worked for the prison service for a while. I've worked in education. So I've worked in a local school helping children and young people with mental health, emotional well-being issues. Yeah, so my background's in psychology. I'm a member of the British Psychological Society. All my qualifications are accredited by them, my undergraduate degree and master's degrees.
And you kind of head up our operations and our one-to-one service here at Arthur Ellis. And you, if I can just say it publicly, you do an absolutely stellar job. There's so many people who absolutely love Rita, and I don't personally get involved in the one-to-ones, but the amount of feedback that I get about Rita, not necessarily just the quality of her work, but just her as a human being. So we're going to be looking today at what we all might be going through at the moment, and that kind of summarizes in looking at anxiety, certainly towards the situation that we're all in, how we can manage that. We're going to be looking at if our mood starts to dip a little bit lower than usual, what we can do to combat it. We're also going to have a quick discussion around family well-being and what families out there can do to support their well-being during this time. But then also we've seen quite recently a large spike in domestic abuse. So we want to address that. We want to talk about what people can do, what's available to them, and how to identify all of these different things. So we're going to be back right after this to talk with the wonderful Rita more about these subjects. So stay tuned. Hello, welcome back to MK Mental Health Hour with myself, John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. We're here this evening with the wonderful Rita Mistry, our very own Rita Mistry, and we've just covered that she's very experienced in psychology. So today we're going to be having a look at a variety of things that we all might be going through at the moment and then giving some top tips on what you can do to support yourself and maybe even talk through with other people to support them. So firstly, we're going to be having a look at anxiety because an awful lot of us might be experiencing it at the minute or be hearing about it on the news. But Rita, what counts as anxiety? If you were to give like an overview or a statement to summarize what anxiety is, what would you give?
I think anxiety is that kind of like unknown uncertainty about what might happen, what possibly could happen, if what. And we can get really kind of like tied up in that in terms of overthinking it a little bit. The thing about anxiety that I often say to people, it's one of those kind of emotions that you kind of like, it is normal to be worried about your dentist appointment or an exam coming up. But when it actually becomes so bad that it's stopping you functioning on a daily basis, it stops you doing things, you start avoiding stuff. And it's one of the most noticeable emotions that when it is heightened that you can feel actually in your body, because you have all those physiological responses like your heart racing, you're unable to think, you've got a headache, you're shaking, those butterflies in your stomach. So yeah. Kind of like that's what really anxiety is, isn't it?
And at the moment with what's going on out there, because there's different types of anxiety as I understand it. So you can be anxious about a variety of different things. It's not that you purely get anxious about money or you purely get anxious about your job. So there's all sorts going on at the minute. So what sort of experiences might people be going through at the moment related to anxiety? What might people be anxious about?
So it's really interesting, the circumstances that we find ourselves in, because anxiety, from my perspective, is slightly changed. There are different types of anxieties, and you know what we would have sort of like experienced is like some of the people that come to us for help, John, is some yeah. people are anxious about, like we've got children who are anxious about school, so there's kind of like not going to school. That's the kind of like social anxiety. Or there might be generalized anxiety, or there's like me, I've got a phobia against spiders, that you know, if I see a spider I go into a kind of like an anxiety meltdown. But the circumstances that we're finding ourselves in today is slightly different, because not only have we got people who might have had anxiety before with all sorts of things, but we've got this global anxiety going on that people are worried about, you know, jobs, they're worried about money, they're worried about their loved ones, they're worried about whether they've got the virus, not got the virus, are they immune to it, what's happening. How long are we going to be in this state of lockdown? So all these things are causing a kind of like a global anxiety that we're all kind of collectively sharing at all different levels.
So what might we identify if we've got someone in our families or even in ourselves? We've kind of mentioned a couple of things that we might spot if we are experiencing it with the physical responses that you mentioned. But how might that come out in our friends or family's behaviours? How might we pick up that someone is particularly not necessarily just experiencing anxiety as the typical emotion, but if it becomes more intense or they're unable to manage that, what might we start spotting?
So it's interesting, because I think the thing is that we might not see normal anxiety kind of signs. Like we know that, you know, that people can experience panic attacks when that anxiety is really quite heightened. And you might find that your loved ones are having more panic attacks than normal. And those who normally would have had panic attacks maybe are exhibiting anxiety in different ways. So I know of people who are kind of like constantly glued to the news and watching the news because they feel like, you know, if they keep watching the news, they're going to be getting information that might help them calm down.
Yeah, answers to those uncertainties. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. There are people who are kind of like constantly going on to their apps to like find out how much money they've got in the bank, you know, to see if there's any kind of like financial kind of industry that will their money disappear from their account. So I think, you know, that kind of overchecking, overthinking, overdoing thing is a real sign that, you know, there's something going on here, that somebody is feeling a lot more anxious than normal. This whole panic buying that's been going on, that's all about people's anxieties and worries, isn't it?
Yeah. Are we going to run out of stuff? Again, it's another question that is kind of unknown, and you go out and you buy all sorts of things to kind of succumb and allow yourself to feel more comfortable that you've got things. So if we are recognizing that maybe our screen time's going up and we're checking things an awful lot, or maybe that, I suppose, that could come out in questions that are being asked in the family as well. You know, what's happening? Is this okay? What's happening with our jobs and all of that sort of stuff? If people are getting stuck into those cycles, what sort of things can help? Because we've spoken before about breathing techniques that can be really helpful. And we spoke off air about one where if you start feeling like you have that temptation even to check your apps or to look at the news, or if you're getting into a cycle, one really good way of resetting is just taking a series of deep breaths. But there's some science around it about breathing in for 10 seconds and then holding it, but counting, breathing in, sorry, and then holding it for 10 seconds and counting backwards from 10. Because you said that if you're counting forwards, the tendency is to speed up as you count.
Absolutely. So
counting backwards, you said, allows you to pace that count back down and sort of lower down the pace of what everything's going at. So breathing in a deep breath, holding it for 10 seconds and counting back down from 10 can be really helpful. But there's also a grounding exercise that that we've spoken
about. Yeah, because what we've got to remember, John, is that because anxiety has such a profound physiological reaction in terms of your heart racing and stuff like that, we need to be able to calm the body down. Because when we're able to calm yourself down and you ground yourself, you're able to think a little bit logically about your surroundings and what's going on. So one of the techniques that we kind of look at, a really good grounding technique, is what I call the 5-4-3-2-1 grounding technique. And it's about using your senses. And it's about bringing yourself down back into the moment that you need to be, back down to ground. And it's about looking around the room, five things you can see, and just name them in your head. So if I was doing that at the moment, I'm in my room, I can see my desk, I can see the laptop, I can see my pen, my papers. I can see the window. And then maybe four things that you can feel, you know, not necessarily you can feel at the moment, but there are in the room that you can feel, okay, like a fluffy cushion or something, okay, three things that you can hear, two things that you can smell, and some rooms don't necessarily have a smell, so think about maybe two things that you like the smell of. So I love the smell of roses, and I also like the smell of a fish and chip shop when you walk by. It doesn't matter how much you've eaten, it's always a nice smell. And then now, number one is how you're feeling now. Now, this is not a one-hit wonder. You might have to do it several times to be able to calm down. And you might just get up to sort of like, you know, the things that you can hear and you think, I'm okay, that's fine. But a couple of minutes after, the anxiety might rise again. Do it again. Keep doing it until you've got a good sort of like 10, 20 minutes that you're feeling a lot more calmer.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Rita. I'm going to be coming back with a discussion around low mood and also family well-being right after this. Welcome back to MK Mental Health Hour. It's John Manning here from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support, and we have our very own wonderful Rita with us. So we've just covered anxiety and a couple of simple techniques that people can use or talk others through that might be able to help if we do identify that people are experiencing heightened anxiety at the minute. But we also want to cover low mood, because that's something that, even though we're all running on adrenaline at the minute, it might be something that quite a few people are experiencing with everything that's going on. So Rita, what sort of constitutes as low mood? What is low mood? Because we can all have the odd bad day, but it would low mood or flat mood be different to that?
Yeah, I mean, low mood and kind of like the flat mood, which is kind of like the apathy. It's got to be that it's more than just a bad day. It's got to be consistently happening that, you know, you wake up and you feel exactly the same in that low mood. You go to sleep and you're still feeling like that. And during the day, you just can't uplift your spirit, and you're just feeling quite withdrawn, you know, down in the dumps, maybe sad, maybe upset. And, you know, it's got to be a consistent thing. And we always talk about that on average, it's got to be going on for about 2 weeks for us to really say that this is a low mood issue.
Yeah, and we've had it in our shows before. Like we did our depression show around Blue Monday in January with Dr. Raj, and he sort of said that that's certainly the time that GPs want to be seeing you. So if anyone has been experiencing that for a couple of weeks, it's certainly worth giving a GP surgery a call. Obviously, we're restricted on whether we can go there or not at the moment, but we need to be kind of addressing it with clinical professionals, basically, to get some support. But if people might be starting to experience it and they haven't reached out yet, or if it's even somebody within our family, because obviously families are really living closely together now, if we might be able to identify that someone's experiencing low mood, what might people be seeing in their family members or maybe even in themselves? What kind of changes might you see, not just kind of feeling sad, but are there other signs that someone might be experiencing low mood?
Yeah, I mean, with our lockdown situation, is that if you've already got somebody who's got pre-existing issues with kind of like mood disorders, maybe depression or whatever, those signs and symptoms that they normally exhibit might get worse, okay? Also, is that because we're in a confined space altogether, is that if you have someone who has one person has low mood, it can have a knock-on family effect on the family, and it might bring everybody's mood down.
Yeah.
And everybody's motivation to sort of like lift their spirits and whatnot. So it's quite a kind of like compounding kind of issue.
And it's not necessarily, because I've experienced low mood in the past, as I'm sure quite a lot of listeners have, and it's not necessarily the sort of thing that you can immediately just snap out of. It's something that takes a lot more effort than that and more consistency. So you kind of have to be quite persistent with different things that you can do and having different things in place in order to have that steady impact. It's not necessarily an overnight thing that you can get out of, but it is something that you can do a fair amount about yourself to give yourself a boost or to give the entire family a boost, to make sure that you're upping these spirits, that you're keeping in positive spirits throughout these times. So we'll come back shortly, we'll have a look at what you can do to combat low mood and to do everything that you can to support it for yourself and your family after this. Welcome back to the MK Mental Health Hour with me, John Manning, from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. And we've got our own lovely psychology practitioner here, lead mentor and Swiss Army knife, Rita Mistry. So the last link, Rita, we had a look at low mood, not necessarily expressing itself in just being sad. It can come out in a variety of ways, like anger and feeling irritable. So we might spot a variety of different things. So what would be, if someone is finding that, or not necessarily in themselves, but if there's other people in the house that they're starting to identify that with, what can be some really helpful things that they can get in place, either as an individual or as a family, that can start to combat that and manage it?
I think it's really important that we be just mindful that everybody we're kind of like in contact within our households, they're all going to be having their own little demons that they're dealing with, okay? And you as a family also might have some issues that you're kind of like trying to face and deal with that's causing the low mood or the anxiety. And I think one of the helpful things is actually having a routine. It's really important that, you know, as a family or individuals themselves have a routine, because it's been proven that being sort of like having a pattern of things that you're kind of like adhering to improves your kind of like physical and your well-being.
Okay. So with it being routine, because we've covered routine a fair amount in the show before, and one thing that we've kind of picked up on is not just having a set routine where it's exactly the same stuff every single day, because that can quite, for me anyway, that becomes quite monotonous and quite boring quite quickly. So yes, having a routine, but would you say that it's important to vary it and have different things that you can draw upon to do different days?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, be creative as much as possible. And even a building a routine, that's a really lovely family activity. I'm working with a family at the moment. So what they're doing is on Sunday evening, they get together and they've got this big, massive whiteboard and they plan out their week and they're varying everything. So even though they might have in the middle of the day, they'll do their exercise. Two of them might do one thing one day, two of them might do another thing another day. So vary it. You know, you can go for walks. Some of the families that I know of that I'm working with, they're doing kind of little competitions, running up and down the stairs as fast as they can. And that's really good because of, like, the kids, as long as she's safe about it. So, you know, build a routine so you know exactly where you are. It also helps sort of like things like budgeting, you know, because you can plan your meals around what you're doing and vary them. You could do some sort of like cooking together. It doesn't just have to be the monotonous everyday kind of things, because that gets boring. And you're right, John, it will really like make people worse than rather than better.
And we need to have longevity in this, don't we? It's not something that we just need to manage for a couple of days or 1 week. This is something that we need to get in place so that it doesn't start having that longer term effect. So we mentioned a couple of things there about food and different things. So while when building a routine, what are the kind of important principles for people to build into that for our well-being, to make sure that we're ticking all of the well-being boxes, shall we say?
So, I mean, yeah, for example, like in my routine, my kind of like what we've got in our household is that we've got a specific time where we're connecting with other people. So like with family, checking up on them. Okay. Not every day. I mean, like, for example, my hubby checks up on his sister Monday, Tuesday and Friday. And I'm connecting with my family on, you know, in between that as well. So it's all varied. So it's not just that connectivity. That's important. It's healthy eating. We're also having a sort of like a set time where we're actually going to be going out and doing our shopping, kind of like the ways that we've been asked to do in terms of social distancing. Also, we've decided that, because one of the things that we thought about is we'd give the house a really good deep clean. And we thought, well, no, because once we've done that, what else have we got? So we're taking one room a week and giving a really good thorough deep clean. And by the time we finish the whole house, we can start again. So we're varying it and keeping ourselves occupied. Also, some of us are working still at home. Okay, so you need to factor that in too. So there's quite a variety of things that, you know, that's going to be helpful that will keep a routine going.
And I suppose from the point of view of building a routine with everyone collectively in the house, rather than just having your own personal thing, parents out there who might be struggling to work at home because of childcare and because of family being in the house at the same time, if you build that routine together, everyone has the same appreciation of what you're doing within the day. So that can be really, really helpful. That's brilliant. So we do also have on our website a student studying and well-being chart, which was created by Expertise Tuition last week. And we've got a bit of an activity around planning and scheduling as a blog on our website. So if you head over to www.arthurellismhs.com, you can get some further ideas about creating yourself or your family a plan. So another topic that we are going to be addressing today is domestic abuse. We've seen quite a heavy spike in it recently. So we're going to be talking about that in a bit more detail right after this. Welcome back to the MK Mental Health Hour with me, John Manning, from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. And we've got the wonderful Rita Mistry here helping us out and answering any questions that we have around anxiety, low mood, what we can do for our own well-being and family well-being. And something that we've seen really recently, which we wanted to address, was quite a heavy rise in domestic abuse lately. So Rita, you phoned me earlier on in the week and you told me a recent article that demonstrated the rise that's been going on lately. So what's been happening?
It was on the BBC website actually that the Domestic Abuse Commission of England and Wales has actually noted there's a 65% increase on their hotline of people sort of reaching out to them.
And that's huge. And you know, we're all living under the same roofs now. People are more subject or vulnerable to these kinds of things. But we say domestic abuse. Why don't we necessarily call it domestic violence? Because it has previously been named as domestic violence. But why have we turned to abuse now?
I think for me, abuse is a much better description, because violence kind of like makes people picture this kind of like relationship where there's actually a lot of aggression, where there's hitting and kicking and punching. Whereas actually, domestic abuse is much a better definition, because it kind of like encompasses other areas of where things are not healthy, like the emotional, the sort of like psychological abuse that happens, the financial, the isolating, the coercive control, the online cyber kind of abuse that can happen as well in relationships that are not healthy.
So it's not necessarily that someone's going to get battered and bruised all the time. It could be bruising emotionally and sort of looking at sort of control, I suppose, of these different elements. So whether it's financial, whether it is emotional, and certainly at the moment there's an awful lot of vulnerabilities going around that can be monopolised, I suppose, from an opportunist point of view, or from a perpetrator's point of view. There's a lot of vulnerabilities that can be controlled at the minute. So if we do have friends out there, or we're catching up with colleagues or people within our families, how might we identify that someone is under this control, or a victim of, or potential victim of domestic abuse? What sort of signs might we see?
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of our kind of like the people that we know, most of us have a kind of like inclination anyway. And if that is the case, please keep in contact with them more often, connect with them to see if they're okay, and watch out for them. But there are other sort of like signs as well. And we're looking for changes in behaviour and character that, you know, changes from the normal. And I know normal is a bit different at the moment, you know, especially when we're just connecting with people, you know, and using all the sort of like internet platforms that we have. But, you know, there are going to be telling signs. I mean, some of the people that I'm kind of like talking to, you know, they're not so worried about what their makeup is. They might be still in their pyjamas because we're all at home and we're just connecting from where we are. But, you know, if you're seeing people who are really getting dressed up in makeup and really going over the top, and you're thinking, you have to ask yourself, what are they hiding? Is there an injury that they're kind of like, you know, trying to cover up? So, you know, watch out for these little things. Mm. Also, I think it's important to kind of like, you know, these people, you know, you talk to them, is watch out what's happening to their confidence, their self-esteem. The language that they're using, are they kind of like keeping conversations really short? Are they very formal?
They might be kind of being observed of what they're saying, not really speaking very freely. And we've covered domestic violence before or domestic abuse before on a show. And one of the things that if you do suspect someone might be vulnerable to it is having a safe word, so that if they're unable to talk, or if they are in danger, or even if their children in the house are also in danger, then you can agree a safe word or a safe phrase to, so that you can subtly let someone know that they are in any particular danger. So we've got a couple of things that you can do. So refuges are still open. So for anyone that is experiencing issues surrounding domestic abuse, there are refuges that are still taking on people, so you don't have to stay in that situation. The helpline for the local MK Act, which is a wonderful intervention service locally, is the number for that is 0344 375 4307. Alternatively, Rita, I suppose people can just call 999 if there is any immediate risk.
Yeah, they can do. If you think somebody is at immediate risk, okay, and you're really worried about them, ring 999, okay?
Absolutely.
And they'll talk you through it and help you with that. Obviously, you do think that there might be children at risk and stuff. There is the MASH that you can ring, which is the Milton Keynes Multi-Agency Safeguarding Hub. Their kind of like details are on the Milton Keynes Council website.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Rita. We're going to be back very shortly with a roundup of everything that we've covered, and if you do need any additional support, where you can find it. Hello, welcome back to MK Mental Health Hour with me, John Manning, from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. And we've had our very own Rita Mystery here as well, giving a variety of top tips and having a really good discussion around anxiety, low mood, family well-being and how to boost it, and also covering off some aspects of domestic abuse. So if anyone needs any additional support after this show, or might start to recognize any of these signs, we want to really encourage you to reach out. We have recently tripled the size of our team, offering one-to-ones and also group sessions for the people of Milton Keynes. We have really slashed prices, so we're just literally covering our staff costs. So the contributions that we ask for towards sessions are really low as a result of what's going on. So please go ahead over to our website. You can reach out just by filling out an online self-referral form. And we've also got a ton of support guides on there to help you and the family. So the website is www.arthurellismhs.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much, Rita. You're a star as always. And we hope everyone stays as well as possible and stay at home. wash your hands and keep safe. Thank you.